Good morning. It is time to get up with another chance for Lance. We've got late news that could mean a shakeup at the top of the draft. Meanwhile, Trevor talks and makes all the sense in the world, but we'll tell you why that still won't quiet all of his critics. And then, KD hurt again. Just how bad is it this time? We've got the very latest as Woj will join us live. All that and more as we get up with you starting right now. From New York, I am Greeny. Thank you for getting up with us. Hope you had a wonderful weekend, and we have put together quite the crew as we are counting down the days to the start of the NFL draft. Graziano's breaking stories. Hasselbeck is breaking down quarterbacks. And with Dominique, you never know what he's breaking down. We'll find out over the next 2 hours as the NFL draft is only 10 days away. And one of the most intriguing prospects, Trey Lance, will hold his second pro day today. In his latest mock draft, Mel Kiper has Lance going with the 6th overall pick. But Lance seems still to be in play for the Niners at number 3 as well. Now, here's what we know. We know that the 49ers, along with the Falcons and Washington, among others, will be attending the pro day today. San Francisco obviously traded up for the 3rd overall pick. The Falcons right now right behind them at 4. Washington, interesting, as they don't draft until 19. Maybe they're in the market to trade up for a quarterback. We will see. But Graziano, let me start with you because we have this news from you this morning that I think tells a fascinating story about the degree to which San Francisco may be interested here.
Yeah, so Greeny, Trey Lance works with a quarterback instructor named Quincy Avery, who has several clients, works with different quarterbacks every year. That's the guy he's been with the last year or so. But a couple of weeks ago, Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers, asked Lance if he would work for a couple of weeks with John Beck, a former NFL quarterback who played for Kyle Shanahan in Washington and who also works with quarterbacks coming out in the draft to prepare them for the NFL. Shanahan trusts Beck's eye and wanted Beck's opinion on Lance, and he worked with him for the last couple of weeks. The 49ers gave Beck a program of drills that they wanted Lance to work on specifically over the last couple of weeks, drills he will do today during a workout that they have effectively designed and will administer. So the 49ers want to get as much information about Trey Lance as possible that is specific to them and what kind of quarterback he would be for them. They did a lot of similar stuff last week with Justin Fields, who also works with John Beck. And of course, we know Alabama's Mac Jones also under consideration for the 49ers at number 3. With 10 days to go, the Niners want to make sure they know as much as they possibly can about each of these three guys before deciding who to pick with that number 3 overall pick.
So, Dominique, the plot just thickens here. It goes from the 49ers knew exactly who they wanted, and that's why they moved up, to where suddenly they seem to be doing, I'm going to use the phrase kicking the tires, but that doesn't seem like nearly enough to explain what they're doing. How do you read this, Neek?
I mean, to be honest, it makes me think of Lloyd Christmas and Dumb and Dumber, so you're saying there's a chance. I think the chance is probably pretty slim. They're probably going to go with the guy that we all thought that it, or that we all think they're going to go with, and that being Mac Jones. While I don't think that's the best choice, I think it's smart of them. It's only the responsible thing to do to proverbially kick the tires on all these potential draft picks. You want to leave no stone unturned. You want to at least give everyone an opportunity, but I think you're right to think that they're at least considering it. I don't think they would go to these lengths. They wouldn't do this travel. They wouldn't send out special coaches to do recon. They wouldn't do any of this stuff if they were sitting at number 1 and they knew they were going to get Trevor Lawrence. They're doing this because there's a possibility that they might go in a different direction, as wild as that may seem to us, considering what we've been hearing for the last few weeks.
Well, okay, so Tim, let's analyze this for a minute. Before we get into the player himself, which I think most of our audience has probably never seen, because he played at North Dakota State, and they only played one game this season anyway. But you know who's not at the Justin Fields Pro Day last week and is not at this Pro Day today? The Jaguars are not, because they know who they're taking. The Jets are not, because they know who they're taking. So the mere fact that the 49ers are there suggests to me that they do not definitively know who they are taking. And how do you read that, Tim, for a team that traded as much as they did to move up to number 3? Wouldn't you have assumed they would have a definitive person in mind to take there?
Absolutely. And I still think that they do. And so this, the fact that they are running around to these various pro days, I don't believe that that means they don't know who they're taking. I think that they knew exactly who they were taking when they traded up. It's part of the reason for me that, with all of the Mac Jones talk, I'm not totally sold on it because they continue to show interest. So, you know, I think for me, when I look at this, yes, they knew. At the same time, you're spending so much money scouting. You know, part of the evaluation process is just important for you as you go forward. Was our evaluation of this player correct 3 years from now when you see what type of player he was? And so I think following through on it is a good idea for the Niners and really, quite honestly, any NFL team. So I think that's why they're doing it more than anything. I don't believe they're doing this because they don't know who they're going to select.
Okay, that doesn't make any sense to me. Let me present a counter argument. Dominique, I will address this to you, okay? So if there is a restaurant that is famous for this one dish, I'm excited to go there. This is the dish I have been waiting for. Before I left my house, I knew that I was ordering this dish when I got to this restaurant. When I arrive, I'm not going to ask for a menu. I'm not going to say, show me all the other things that you have. I'm going to say, bring me that, because that's why I came here. And so I don't understand why the 49ers have to go look at the rest of the menu if they already decided what they want to order.
I think it's because people have different palates. To continue this awful analogy, I think that I am more like the 49ers because I go to the restaurant and everyone's telling me, you got to get the chicken, you got to get the chicken. I really like seafood, so I'm going to look at the menu and maybe there's some sort of lobster dish that's going to knock my socks off and I'm going to take it because that fits my system, so to speak. So I think that maybe it's possible that just because you're in this position, or you've traded up to this position, does not, in that everyone thinks that you're going in one particular direction, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't look around and check and make sure that there isn't another dish out there that suits you a little bit more. So I like the idea of doing full research and checking everything out, even if you already have a strong inkling of where you're going, because you don't want to miss this opportunity. This is a heavy investment, not just that it's the third overall pick, but they gave up so much to get here. So get it right. And I think that Jacksonville should be at these pro days. And I think the Jets should be at these pro days. It's only a little bit of information, but every little bit counts.
Graziano, jump in here.
Well, look, I mean, if we're going to continue on the restaurant analogy, it's more like I know what I want at this restaurant. But I'll tell you what, I called ahead to the restaurant and I said, look, there's this other dish. I don't know if you can do it, but if you can really nail it, and these are the ingredients and this is the recipe, and if you really, really nail it, I may change my mind and I may order that special instead. So I think what we're seeing here is, let's just, I mean, look, we've heard Mac Jones to the 49ers. It may well be that that's who they're going to take. It may be that that's who they're always going to take. But they are giving Justin Fields last week and Trey Lance this week an authentic chance to change their minds if that's the case. And there is no question that even if the preference right now is Mac Jones, that Trey Lance could still show enough today to continue to be in that conversation. I mean, this assumes he's not already the guy. But if we're assuming Mac Jones, because that's all we've heard, these guys have a chance to change their minds.
Okay, there are no words to describe how strongly I disagree with this line of thinking. But it isn't me making the decision, it's them. So, Tim Hasselbeck, let's circle back to where we could have begun, which is to say, Trey Lance is having a second pro day today. The overwhelming majority of people watching us right now have never seen him play football in their lives. Mm-hmm. So let's show everybody what it is that has made so many NFL teams so excited about this quarterback.
Yeah, Greeny, the number one thing is physical ability. That's the thing that grabbed everybody's attention at first. He has a physical ability in terms of size, athleticism, arm strength, accuracy, natural throwing motion. That's appealing to anybody that watches him. So when he throws at a pro day or he's competing at North Dakota State, it's going to be impressive. The next thing off of that is that when they've talked football with him, they've been impressed. And so what people are looking at is saying, look, this guy has played at a low level of competition, but look at some other guys that maybe played at a low level competition or kind of were raw and unrefined. How about Josh Allen when he was coming out of Wyoming? You know, was he as accurate as everyone wanted him to be? No, he wasn't. But he would make plays like this one you're about to see against Nebraska, where, like, you can't get it out of your mind because people can't make that throw. Even guys that are ranked, you know, are highly rated prospects can't make throws like that. No different than Patrick Mahomes. You know, when he's running around at Texas Tech, you know, making bad decisions, there are still some of those throws that he would make where you go, well, wait a minute. Even the guys that have had success in the NFL, they weren't doing those types of things. I think people see those types of traits in Trey Lance, and they really feel like, look, if we can kind of polish him up a little bit, yes, he doesn't have a ton of experience, but if we can coach him up, have him in our system, then he can be a star because his physical tools, you know, really look like they're going to be better than most quarterbacks in the National Football League.
This, Dominique, is why I've been saying, well, why are you shaking your head like that, first of all?
Oh, because I what I just saw out of Patrick Mahomes is mind-bending. Like, who was that dude dressed up like Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech? Because that's not the guy that we've seen in the league.
That's the point. That was Mahomes, in case it wasn't clear. The first one was Allen. The second one was Mahomes. But, Nick, here's the point. This is why I've been saying all along that the 49ers are in the perfect position, if they choose to go the Mahomes method, which is they've got Jimmy Garoppolo. He's more than suitable. In fact, history shows that when he's healthy, they win every game he plays, practically. So you keep him in there while you draft this young, raw, developmental guy in Trey Lance. You bring him along at whatever speed makes sense for him and for them. And when it's time, he gets the job, and Jimmy G goes back to New England or wherever. It has always made sense to me, Dominique, and that's why I've been saying from the beginning, I believe that's who they're trading up to get.
I hope you're right, because that seems exciting and dynamic in a way that obviously Mac Jones is not. But I don't necessarily believe in the quarterback needs to sit philosophy. I believe that Patrick Mahomes would have been great as a rookie if he got the opportunity. And I think Trey Lance fits that category also. Like, he's the son of a former professional football player. He understands the game at a high level. I don't know that you benefit much from having him on the sideline or on the bench to learn. You put him out there, that's how you learn. You make your mistakes and you get better that way.
Either way, I mean, whichever way they choose to do that is up to them and up to him and the rest of it. But the general principle of it makes sense. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, Greeny, you and I have been in agreement on this, that Lance makes more sense as this pick, and I haven't been able to shake this possibility. Couple things. The Josh Allen comparison. Go back to last December, before and after the 49ers played the Bills. Kyle Shanahan was raving about Josh Allen and the number of different things you can do as an offense when you have a quarterback that has that kind of ability. Trey Lance has played under center in college more than these other guys have. He fits a lot of what Kyle Shanahan wants to do, and in a lot of ways, it makes more sense than a Mac Jones pick, also because they plan on keeping Jimmy Garoppolo and they can give Trey Lance whatever time it is that he needs to be ready, a week, 3 weeks, a whole season, whatever that turns out to be.
All right, so this is a big day on that front, and we'll have much more on it as we go. But yesterday was a big day in sports, too, when the game of the day took place in Miami. Kevin Durant and the Nets taking on the Heat, and KD would start fast. He'd make his first four shots, and then this would happen early in the first. This is Durant working on Trevor Ariza, and you're going to take another look as he comes up kind of hobbling and obviously in some pain, which is a sight you never want to see. Ariza's knee making contact with Durant's left thigh. He would leave shortly thereafter with a left thigh contusion. He would not return. We'll have Woj with an update a little later. Meanwhile, here's how the game ended. Fourth quarter, it's close. That's Kyrie Irving. No. Here comes Goran Dragic going the length. Goran Dragic going the distance, puts it up, and we're tied at 107. Chris Rock is watching, and here's the finish. Final seconds. Bam Adebayo. Tie game. No more. He gets it up and knocks it down. Adebayo, his first career game-winning buzzer beater. Take a look. Clearly beating the buzzer. Adebayo, 21 points, 15 boards, 5 assists. The Heat win it at the buzzer. And Chris Rock, who's from Brooklyn, seems to be cheering for the wrong team. All right, as we roll on here, just getting started on this Monday. Coming up, why does one Green Bay legend think Aaron Rodgers and the Packers could be headed for a nasty divorce? You will hear. And Trevor Lawrence talks. Makes all the sense in the world, but we'll tell you why it still won't quiet all of his critics. That's on the way. We're just getting rolling. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up and Dan Graziano. Let's run the hurry up through some of the NFL news and notes. What do we have?
It was reported in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette over the weekend that the Steelers would draft a running back with their first or second round pick. Very interesting with Pittsburgh. We know they have to address the quarterback position for the future at some point in this draft, but they're also balancing the future with the present and trying to field a competitive team for this year. Left tackle, running back, try to rebuild that offense. Early possibilities for the Steelers in this draft. We are now up to 19 teams that have announced through the NFLPA that their players will be skipping the voluntary portion of the offseason workout program. This should not be news because those programs are voluntary, but most of the time, most years, most players do participate in them. There has been disagreement between the NFLPA and the NFL over how much in-person work should go on this offseason, and right now the players seem to be staying away from the parts that are voluntary, as is their right. Tom Brady of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers recovering from knee surgery, appeared at the Bruce Arians charity event on Sunday, talked about the recovery, says it's going well. He hopes to be able to participate in a June mini camp if there is one. At this point, that is the only mandatory portion of the offseason program. So Brady seemingly targeting that for a return to the field following his offseason surgery.
Fascinating, as is his propensity for changing his haircut constantly. I've never seen a person have more completely disparate haircuts in a short period of time. Tom Brady looks different every single time you see him. Meanwhile, the big question involving Brady and the Bucs is, can they defend their championship, of course? And that begins with our friends in Las Vegas at Caesars Sportsbook, where they have set the win total for the upcoming season for Tampa at 11.5, which is the second highest in the league. Only Kansas City is higher at 12. A team led by Tom Brady has not gone under its preseason win total since the 2009 season. So that is something to keep in mind on. And so is the fact, bear in mind, this is out of 17 games, not out of 16. That's going to take a lot of getting used to. It's something I feel like I'm going to need to keep reminding you. But that's the total. They're going to play 17 games. 11.5, more or less. What do you think, Dominique?
Oh, man, you set me up right there with all those facts and evidence. But I think that they're probably going to go less, honestly, and that's not terrible. I think they probably win around 11 games. They get to play the NFC East, which is not all that challenging a division. But I do think that it's important to remember that they were not this dominating team that we saw them as in the Super Bowl. Yes, there were some injuries and stuff that made it so they could dominate the Chiefs in that game, but they struggled through some of those playoff games. You could argue that they didn't necessarily deserve to win that Saints game or the game against the Packers. There were some very big kind of, I guess you could call them fluky plays that tilted that game. And throughout the course of the entire season, at no point did they feel like some consistent juggernaut. So it's hard for me to imagine that they're going to turn into that all of a sudden next year. They will be very good. I'm sure they'll win close to 11.5 games, but I think it's probably safer to project that they're going to go right at 10 or 11 than it is to go that they're going to go to 12 or 13.
A reminder that the one seed has never been more important in any season in NFL history than it will be this year, because there will be only one bye. Not only do we have 17 games, but we have seven playoff teams in each conference. So with that thought in mind, Tim, does that skew your thinking? Which way do you go? You think Tampa wins more than that?
I do. I'm going more here. And listen, I think they're the best team in their division, which I don't think that was the case, especially early in the season a year ago. Bob points to two of the things, and you brought one of them up. I know they're near and dear to Dominique's heart with his previous role in the PA. You mentioned it, the 17-game season. You get an extra game to get to that 12th win. That means a lot. Then the other aspect of it is this, the off-season stuff, which you also touched on, which is basically, I think we're going to have an off-season similar to our off-season a year ago, which is guys are staying away. But guess what? Tom Brady's not staying away. Tom Brady is creating his own offseason, And guess what? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers players are going to go be a part of it. And so I think that continuation, that kind of team chemistry that they have in Tampa means something. I think they get to 12 wins.
Yeah. And they couldn't be more the opposite circumstance than they were a year ago at this time, Dan Graziano, when they all showed up and basically needed name tags. This time around, all 22 starters from the Super Bowl are back. So if any team should get some advantage, it would seem, from the lack of offseason work, a team with that kind of experience together seems like it should be at the top of it. What do you think, Dan?
I lean more toward Dominique here because I believe, as he does, about the thinness of the margins in this league. I'm always going to say under in a situation like this when the number's high. Now, you're right. It may take some getting used to say 11.5 is not what it was a year or two ago when they only played 16 games. But I think, you know, the Buccaneers, yes, they had great December, great January. They are champions and worthy champions. You cannot underrate Tom Brady or his chances at winning. But they had great injury luck. And again, some of those games were very close. I really think it's very difficult to project a team to win 12 games in a season. I'm going to have to go under.
We'll see. Again, if they win 12 this year, it would be 12-5. I'm not sure exactly how long it will take me to get used to saying that,
right.
But I can tell you.
I don't even know what that means.
It's going to be a lot longer than today, that's for sure. Anyway, let me give you weekend eye candy because it was a fascinating weekend, and it started with this. YouTuber turned boxer Jake Paul knocked out Ben Askren right there with a right hand midway through the first round of their fight that lasted less than 2 minutes. Paul extends his record to 3-0 in professional fights, and there was much rejoicing. Meanwhile, you want to see the craziest play in a football game you've ever seen in your life? This is Delaware Villanova. That's Daniel Smith. Watch this. Flip, up and over, and it's a touchdown. Daniel Smith is the quarterback of Nova. Charlie Gilroy catches the touchdown. I've never seen anything quite like that. Delaware would win the game, by the way, 27-20. So the touchdown was for naught, but it sure was spectacular. And then Steph Curry. Oh, my goodness. Look at this. How does that go in? Getting Grant Williams to bite on a play fake. Steph would score 47 points. He has now scored 30 or more in 10 consecutive games. Meanwhile, we got hoops for you tonight. Another NBA Monday night doubleheader. Steph Curry's been on fire. He'll go to make it 11 straight 30-point games as he takes on Embiid and the Sixers at 7:30 Eastern. And then we're headed west. Rudy Gobert leading the Jazz against the Lakers. Our coverage starts tonight with Stephen A's pregame sports center at 7 right here on ESPN. Coming up, why does one Green Bay legend think Aaron Rodgers and the Packers could be headed for a nasty divorce? You will hear the answer. Plus, Zion absolutely balling in his first game at MSG. But it's what he said afterwards that has sent a lot of people into a frenzy. You will hear that on the way. And it's a tale as old as time. It's Sneaky Hembo and Dan Graziano. Here we go. Who is the oldest player to win the NFL MVP award in consecutive seasons? Oh, that is sneaky.
Ooh.
Graziano will take his best shot
I like
next.
That.
You're watching
I like
Get
it.
Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we're back on Get Up, and Graziano, you should know Hembo's talking trash in here. Here we go. Who is the oldest player to win NFL MVP in consecutive seasons?
That's an interesting question because the list of guys that have won it in consecutive seasons isn't that long, and it's some of the thinking about Brett Favre and Joe Montana. My guess, for whatever reason, I'm going to guess Peyton Manning.
Oh, he did. He suckered you in. Peyton Manning was 32-33 when he won it. Montana was 33-34. He sent you exactly down the path that he was expecting.
Well done, Hembo.
You were off by 1 year, Dan Graziano. Well played. And so, Hembo, and that one was fair. Hembo sometimes tries to sneak in these unfair questions. Oh, yeah. That one I think was reasonable. The judges have ruled that a win for Hembo. It's now 19-15 in favor of Dan on the year. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers entering his 17th season in Green Bay. And though he has 3 years remaining on his contract, some believe his time as a Packer could be coming to an end. Among them, it sounds like, his former teammate, Charles Woodson. Listen.
I think it could be one of those situations where it gets nasty at some point in a back and forth between, you know, the Packers and Aaron's agents. And, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. You know what I mean? So this could be a situation where Lottie makes a play or makes some kind of offer, you know, for Aaron Rodgers, and Green Bay can't refuse and say, you know what, hey, we'll go our separate ways. We'll go on with the future of the team.
So it's fascinating, and obviously Charles knows the situation well. But, Tim, you were making the point when we were talking earlier. He's saying this could get to a bad place, and you were making the point, really, it already has.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, a week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, basically said, look, I threw a wrench in their plans, meaning, hey, they thought I was done. They drafted my replacement. And then I played better than anybody else played quarterback last year. Like, I don't know what else he needs to say to already let us know that it is ugly. He is upset. He is angry. Look, I guess he could get more angry and start flipping over tables. But I think we're already at the point where Aaron Rodgers is upset, is unhappy. And I think that's why I've said on this show, if they don't win a Super Bowl this coming season, I think he'll be more upset and more angry, and I think he'll end up playing somewhere else.
Nick, you and I, we share this love of psychoanalyzing people from a distance that we don't know at all. And so what is your read on that as you hear the teammates, everyone's coming out? What is your read on this situation as we sit and watch him hosting Jeopardy right now?
It sounded like Charles proposed a possibility that there could be a trade at some point, which kind of caught me off guard, because the way that I always saw this playing out, and I agree with what Tim was saying, is, yeah, Aaron's already annoyed, and the result of that annoyance was an MVP caliber season. If that happens again this season, then he has all the leverage and flexibility, having not signed an extension, to potentially force his hand out of town. I think he wants to win, and as long as the Green Bay Packers give him the best chance to win in his mind, I think he stays there. But I could see him certainly moving on to somewhere else. But he's never going to be comfortable with the way that they treated him in drafting Jordan Love. And until the time that he leaves, I imagine he's going to be saying passive-aggressive and sometimes aggressive-aggressive things in the media about the way that that front office has treated him.
Give us the inside, Dan.
Hey, look, I mean, this is no different from last year, honestly. And he was annoyed that they drafted Jordan Love last year. He made that clear, that he didn't like the pick and that it affected his opinion on whether he could finish his career in Green Bay. They still managed to go 13-3 and get to the NFC Championship game. So Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers have proven to us that they can handle this situation. And I don't think it gets ugly unless they start losing. Right now, you have to look at it the way the Packers are looking at it, which is a year-to-year situation. Yes, he did throw a wrench into the plans. You know what else threw a wrench into the plans? A weird season and offseason in which Jordan Love really didn't get to do much in terms of any kind of development. So the Packers probably aren't as far along with him as they thought they'd be at this point. And what happens this year in terms of how they play, how Aaron Rodgers plays, and how Jordan Love comes along as a developmental prospect will determine the direction they take with regard to Aaron Rodgers next offseason.
See, if I'm Aaron Rodgers and I hear you say that, it drives me crazy. Completely crazy. Like,
they're but he worried already knows that
Jordan Love didn't, we
this
didn't get
saying.
To see what he could do. I'm worried that we kicked a field goal on a fourth down and didn't go to the Super Bowl again, and I haven't been there in 10 years. I understand that the Packers, they have their plan, but if I'm just saying, Nick, give me a final word. If I'm Rodgers, this drives me nuts.
Oh, yeah, it's not fantasy football. And I think that all that logic that you're throwing out there doesn't take into consideration that this is an emotional game and people are emotional and sometimes irrational. And that's reasonable. Considering what Aaron Rodgers has done for that organization and done at that organization, I would be upset, too. I'd be annoyed and frustrated, too, that you went and drafted somebody when I can still contribute the way that I have. And you are making decisions that feel like you're looking at the future when I'm trying to win us a Super Bowl right now.
Go ahead, Dan, real quick.
All good points. But he did handle it, and he deserves credit for that. They went 13-3 and had a great year.
That's a beautiful mystery, though.
No reason to think he can't do it again.
We know that. Well, he can't do that again. They play 17 games. They won't be 13-3 no matter what happens. Okay. As we continue in a moment, in next week's NFL draft, Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, I'm not even sure why we're still saying expected, he's going to be the first pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, you probably heard and saw a lot of the conversation and commentary about his recent comments in Sports Illustrated, in which, for lack of a better word, he suggested that there was more in his life than football. Well, over the weekend, he responded to that response, putting out a string of tweets. Here's the crux of what he said. He said, "It seems as if people are misreading my sentiment. I am internally motivated. I love football as much or more than anyone. It is a huge priority in my life, obviously. I am driven to be the best I can be and to maximize my potential and to win." This, to me, was so interesting. And the sort of variety of response that we got here last week from different people, I found very interesting. Nick, I haven't heard from you. What is your take on what he said and now how he explained it, for lack of a better way of describing his weekend?
I think I'm somewhat of two minds in this, because I do remember the best seasons I had as a player. Like, I was kind of out of my mind focused and also like borderline depressed and not having anything else going on in my life. But I think it's kind of absurd to think that that's the only way you can have success in this league. I think that Trevor Lawrence can ball out because he is doing the things that need to be done. He's preparing maniacally. He's focused. He's getting ready. He pays attention to his body. Like, those are things that you can do without being a crazy person. And my thought is that there probably have been several really talented, exceptional, outstanding, even Hall of Fame level players who weren't like these crazy sociopaths that we like to make them out to be. And they were just smart enough to not say it publicly. I think Trevor Lawrence made the mistake of thinking that sports media and sports fans were reasonable enough to understand that there are more things in life than football. He can still be a great football player without mortgaging all the things that he cares about just to make sure that he is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yes, nuance is not something that we major in this industry. Tim Hasselbeck, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with Dominique on this. Look, I think he's being honest. He's somebody that basically has been anointed since he was, you know, a sophomore in high school as a guy that's going to be a first-round draft pick. And, you know, I think as a 15, 16-year-old, if you build your entire life on only being a first-round draft pick, it's dangerous. And so I think that he's kind of had a balanced life and perspective on things, which has been really healthy for him and helped him get to this point. So I think he's kind of being honest with that. And I think it's also absurd for us to think that, listen, that a guy has to be so singular focused, like it's got to be the most important thing in his life to have success. And this is what Dominique was referring to. Does that mean that you're not, you know, laser focused during the season? No, of course you are. But look, Brett Favre did a lot of hunting and he did a lot of golfing. He was pretty good. You know, Peyton Manning, you know, did not sit in a cave every single night watching film. Did he prepare? Sure he did. But he had other things going on in his life. Same thing with Tom Brady. Like, are people freaking out when he goes to the Met Gala? Like, no, they're not. And Aaron Rodgers is hosting Jeopardy. So I think, like, things go on outside of football and you can still be focused on it.
And Dan, I know this whole episode bothered you for entirely different reasons.
I'm so proud to be on a panel where the first two guys used the word absurd to describe this situation, because I feel exactly the same way. Look, as a reporter, we want honest answers from people. And here's a young man who gave one and then had to sort of scramble to explain it, as opposed to just saying, no, I said something legitimate and truthful. And honestly, if you think about it, it really shouldn't be that hard to understand. To Tim's point, the MVP of the league just spent the last 2 weeks hosting Jeopardy. It is April. Trevor Lawrence's teammates are not going to judge him on a quote in Sports Illustrated in the most relaxed time of the NFL season. They're going to judge him on how he acts and leads around them in training camp during the season. He may be a complete maniac in training camp and in September, October, November, for all we know. Right now, he's chilling out in April, and he knows where he's getting drafted.
All right. It was a really interesting, if nothing else, just case study in the way we, and by we, I guess I mean everybody, react to things that can easily be explained as nothing. So we'll leave that one there for the moment. Meanwhile, did you guys hear, speaking of overreacting to some comments, did you hear what Zion said? Zion Williamson made his professional debut at Madison Square Garden over the weekend. He played there when he was at Duke, but he had never played there as a pro. He did yesterday. The Pelicans lost to the Knicks in overtime. And then afterwards, Zion talked about how much he loves New York. Listen to this.
New York is the mecca of basketball. I love playing here. This atmosphere, you know, whether they're cheering for you, whether they're booing for you, it's amazing. Honestly, I think outside of New Orleans, obviously, I think this might be my favorite place to play outside of New Orleans. I can't lie to you.
Well, I'm sure no one will overreact to that. Woj will join us coming up shortly to tell us what is behind those comments, plus the very latest injury news on KD and more. Don't miss Woj about a half hour from now. Here on Get Up, we also have this coming up. The NFL MVP odds are out. They feature the usual suspects, but there's one name you're not thinking of that is the obvious favorite. We'll tell you who that is next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions for you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
No matter how many times we play it, I continue to enjoy that open. This is where I will ask Dominique Foxworth a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions, and whether he's ready or not, he will answer them. And here we go. All right, Dominique, right now, who is the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC?
Yeah, I'm hesitant, but I think I got to go with the Bills. I know they were the other representative in the AFC Championship game. And if Josh Allen can put together a season similar to what he did last year and not revert back to the Josh Allen of old, then obviously they're competitive. I'm kind of scared off of the Ravens because every time the Ravens play the Chiefs, they seem to really struggle. But there's a team in Cleveland that I think, after watching the Super Bowl, that pass rush that they're going to have there in Cleveland, like, that should be really scary for the Chiefs combined with an aggressive running attack. But I think I'm just going to be a little bit scared on this one and go with the number two team in the AFC last year and say that's the biggest threat, the Bills.
Yeah, but to be clear, for those who may have missed it, Myles Garrett and now Jadeveon Clowney rushing the passer for Cleveland could be a very dangerous combination. All right, next question. What does Carson Wentz need to do to get the Colts to the Super Bowl?
Chill out. Just chill out. That's it. You just got to chill out. Because last year, Carson Wentz, and the year before that, Carson Wentz trying to do everything. You don't need to do very much. And maybe in Philadelphia, he needed to do a lot because there were a lot of injuries and they had some issues. But they're not going to have the same concerns in Indianapolis that he had in Philadelphia. So don't try to be the MVP-level quarterback that we've seen you be in the past. Relax. We saw what Phillip Rivers was able to do. And in that playoff game against the Bills that we're showing highlights from, that Colts team, they were in control of that game at different points. Josh Allen made some mind-blowing plays, but we need Carson Wentz to understand that you don't have to match that. Just relax, let that defense play well, make plays when you need to, and let that offensive line protect you. And hopefully with Jonathan Taylor, that running attack, they won't need a whole lot out of Carson Wentz.
Yeah, hero ball was the word they used to describe him too often in Philly. Less of that. All right, one more for you, Neek. Give me a team that's going to surprise everybody and make the playoffs this year.
I think it could be the Chargers. And obviously in the Chiefs divisions, it's going to be very hard. But Justin Herbert's return is going to be, hopefully he can take a step forward. They have talent outside on the edge. They might need some offensive line help. But this defense is what I'm looking forward to. And specifically, Derwin James. Having hopefully another full season out of Derwin James will really help this defense return to the level that we know it can with Bosa coming off of the edge. So I think out there in the AFC West, they could be another team that if things break right, they get an offensive lineman, hopefully in this draft, and they improve that pass protection and run blocking, that Los Angeles Chargers could be a team that's going to sneak into playoffs that we're not talking a lot about right now.
Oh, I love it. They pick at 13. People are projecting maybe Rashawn Slater, the offensive tackle, to go there. I like that. How many games did they lose last year by one crazy play at the very end? I love it. Okay, we'll leave that there for the moment. Let's make a break. Coming up next, let's look at some players who have big seasons in front of them and decide if they're going to make or break their teams this year. And, Tim, I'm starting with you. Big Ben, make or break in Pittsburgh?
I'm going to go with break here. I'm not as down on Big Ben as Mike Tannenbaum, but I think we, you know, we had a segment earlier talking about what are they going to do at left tackle, or are they going to get a running back? There's things they need to address, and I just don't think the roster is as good as it's been. And so for Ben, a year older, you know, coming off the year he had a year ago, I don't think this is a great year for Ben, so I'm going break.
24 is where they pick in the first round. Maybe Najee Harris, the running back from Alabama, could help there. Graziano, Jalen Hurts, make or break?
I'll say make, because I think Hurts is going to play well. I think he's got some good stuff inside of him, and I think it's going to come out now that he's the unquestioned starter. I also think the expectations in Philadelphia are probably not going to be as high for this particular year, and he'll be able to do some growing while he has success along the way. So I think Hurts comes out of this year looking strong.
And finally, Dominique, and I'm not sure I even bothered to ask this question. Dak Prescott, make or break?
Oh, yeah, this must have been a mistake by the producers to tee me up for this obvious answer. He's obviously going to make this team season because he's Dak Prescott. He's gotten better every year that he's been in the league. He's added more things to his game. And I think that having this last season ended by injuries gave him more time to get even better. So Dak Prescott is going to obviously make the Cowboys season this year.
Now, as a member of his family, I think there's a conflict of interest in you answering that way, but that's fine. Meanwhile, our friends at Caesars Sportsbook have released their odds for NFL MVP. And unsurprisingly, at the top, you see names like Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. And not coincidentally, they're basically all quarterbacks that you see on your list there. And so let me bring it out here as we never a bad time to be contemplating these things. And Tim, I will start with you. Who is your favorite to win MVP of the league next year?
It's Patrick Mahomes. Like, if I'm going to sit here and say, all right, like, which quarterback is most likely to throw 50 touchdowns, I'm going to say Patrick Mahomes. So, like, to me, I get it. There, sometimes there's player fatigue. There have been player fatigue with the, you know, with Tom Brady or Peyton Manning throughout his career. The reality is that he's fun to watch. I think people are still in love with him. The expectations are super high, but I think he can meet the expectations in the offense he plays in with the talent that's surrounding him.
All right, who's next up here? Graziano, who have you got for MVP?
I mean, I'm with Tim. I mean, I think it's got to be Mahomes, especially from this far out, pretty much every year. I mean, he's got the ability to do things no one else can do. And statistically, I mean, I think he's always going to be a threat to break records, especially he's got an extra game to do them now. And if he takes advantage of that and sets records for yards and touchdowns, breaks Peyton Manning's records in those areas, I think he would be the I think he's got to be considered the favorite.
Okay, and as I said recently, he's the favorite for the next 15 years. They should just rename the award the Patrick Mahomes Award and give it to someone else. So, Dominique, who should that someone else be?
That someone else should be Rain Dakota Prescott down in Dallas. So, all right, listen to me. Okay, chill out over there, home alone. This is my argument for Dak Prescott. It's not because this MVP is a narrative award. And we saw how valuable Dak Prescott was to that team last year when he was balling before his injury. Not that the team was all that great, but they were obviously missing him quite a bit. He's going to come back this year. If they could find a way to get into the playoffs and win that division, I think there's a good narrative and story around how valuable Dak is to that team. I think, obviously, Patrick Mahomes is pretty awesome. He's going to score a lot of touchdowns, and the Chiefs might be the best team, but that's no fun to talk about. Let's
not
get Rain a trophy.
You know what you've become? You've become a Cowboy fan. Just like all the – you're exactly like them. Oh, yeah, sure. They would have won. They would have been winless with Dak Prescott on the field last year if Atlanta knew how to cover an onside kick.
It's just four games. And don't you insult me with that, Uncle Michael. I am no Cowboys fan. Don't you do that to me.
We'll explain that one a little bit later. Meanwhile, let me run the bases through some of the action for the majors yesterday. Oh, the Yankees stink. Not even Gerrit Cole could come to their aid yesterday. New York losing again, 4-2 to the Rays. That's a series sweep for Tampa. The Yankees are 5-10 for the season. It's their worst 15-game start since 1997. What is going on? Elsewhere, Cleveland's Shane Bieber keeps up his record strikeout run. Struck out 13 in a win over the Reds 6-3. He's the first pitcher ever to start a season with four straight starts with at least 10 strikeouts since the mound was moved back to its current distance, which was in 1893. Meanwhile, round one is in the books, and the National League West matchup between the Padres and Dodgers did not disappoint. Eric Hosmer, the tying and go-ahead RBIs in the seventh and eighth innings. The Padres avoid the sweep. They beat L.A. by a score of 5-2. And if you're looking for baseball, we'll have it for you tomorrow night. Mets and Cubs play the first of their three-game series at Wrigley Field. Taijuan Walker getting the start for the Mets. Jake Arrieta will go for the Cubs. That's tomorrow on ESPN. Still coming here on ESPN. It's a second chance for Lance. Find out why Trey Lance's second pro day could turn the top of the draft upside down. That's next. This is Get Up on ESPN.